This is FUV Live Sessions, a podcast brought to you by WFUV in New York City. Each week, we talk to artists in our Bronx studio and listen to them play a live set. You'll get to hear the songs and learn about the artists. Episodes drop every Monday wherever you listen to podcasts. Be sure to follow the show to stay up to date on all the new episodes and maybe even find your next favorite artist or band. This is FUV Live Sessions with Dead. I'm Megan Oftermat, and I'm here with host Sam Sumpter at WFUV. Sam, this was a new band for me. Talk to me about why you love Dead. Talk to me about Dead.
Hey, Megan. Always great to talk to you, and I'm so excited to talk about Dead. So first off, for those unfamiliar with the band or perhaps with the origin of their name, it is D-E-H-D, and that is actually an acronym. It's a combination of a project from Jason Balla and Emily Kemp of the band's their previous projects. They merged those together to form Dream Eagles Heavy Dreams, D-E-H-D, and that's how you get Dead. I am so excited about this band. I am so excited for their record, Poetry, dropped on May 10th, and it's just such an awesome album. It's their fifth, and really a cool story behind this one.
So had you listened to Dead before the session? Because like I said before, this was a new band for me.
So much like, you know, so many of our listeners, I use WFUV as a discovery platform as well.
Right, exactly. Me too.
You know, when I found out that I was going to have the opportunity to interview Dead, I dove right into their catalog, trying to get to know them and really listening. You know, they had a few singles out from their new album at the time as I was doing my research. And I was listening to them nonstop. I was on the plane back from my parents' house in Washington, coming back to New York. I was at a wedding in Oklahoma City. I was on the train and on the subway and blasting it in my AirPods. And it turns out that listening to it in motion is kind of appropriate because that's also the way the music was written.
Oh, interesting. And we're going to hear about that in the interview. But Sam, is there anything else that you want to share before we dive into that?
But one thing that was really cool, I think, was that they were in town for a pretty big event, Indie Plaza. They also had a photo shoot with Rolling Stone. You know, they had this sense of momentum, like they're really killing it. But then at the same time, a few weeks later, I saw on my friend's social media feeds, like on Instagram, that they were playing a pop-up show on a rainy day in Maria Hernandez Park in Brooklyn for free. So at the same time, they're staying true to their DIY roots. And I think that is one really special and awesome thing about Dead that I really admire.
Okay, without further ado, let's get into the episode. Sam, what are we going to hear first from Dead?
This is Dead with Bad Love on FUV Live Sessions. One, two.
That was Bad Love from Dead on 90.7 WFUV. I am Sam Sumter, so utterly stoked to have Emily and Jason from Dead in the studio to play some songs from the new album, Poetry, that is out now. How are y'all doing?
We're
feeling good. Poetic. Feeling poetic? Perfect.
Yeah.
Feeling great.
Thank you so much for being here. We're so excited to have you. I'm so excited to have you. And I'm so excited about this album. So Poetry is actually based on a poem, or inspired by a poem, rather, from Charles Bukowski, The Laughing Heart. To start, how did you guys find this poem and really just be inspired by it? And how did this kind of influence the album?
Yeah, how does one get into poetry?
I'm gonna have to thank the algorithm for that, because like, I can't necessarily say like I'm even a Bukowski fan or anything mm-hmm. like that, but I found a video of Tom Waits reading this poem, mm-hmm. and it kind of coincided with the more spiritual, cosmic realm of me understanding some of these concepts in the poem in my own life. And then I heard it put so succinctly, and I was like, this is it.
And then he made us listen to it every day when we were writing for the record. When we were doing the Chicago portion of writing, he'd be like, all right, guys, it's time. And then he would put it on the YouTube. We would sit in silence and listen to it, and then we would start writing.
It's like a prayer in a sense.
Yeah, so like, yeah. It was.
It's our grounding exercise.
It was our meditation circle.
Take some deep breaths and listen to some Charles Bukowski. Yeah.
I want you to think about your life.
But only through Tom Waits, because he's got a great poet voice.
Yeah, there's something gravels. Magical about it.
That actually, you know, I think you've got the Dead hotline, right, that people can call.
Yes.
And
you can listen to it.
Exactly. You actually hear that. So in a sense, people can be maybe inspired in the same way
by
that
Tom
you
Waits.
Were.
Mm-hmm. That's the idea. You got to pay it forward.
You got to pay it forward.
Yeah.
And I think that there's something to be said for the fact that, like, you know, art begets art. Like, you guys were inspired by this poem as you were writing. In what ways would you want your album to inspire people?
I think in general, it's just like about like taking agency and like being an active participant in your own life, because it's so easy to avoid it and distract yourself, I think, from the world and from your own feelings. And it's such like a long conversation. We could be talking about it all day. But like, I think in the nutshell, that's what
it is. Wake up, sheeple.
Me the sheeple, we
no,
the sheeple.
But yeah, look up, look up.
No, I think there is definitely something, the fact that it's so easy to get distracted and to find distractions and coping mechanisms and just kind of cruise through life rather than, you know, actively being a part of it. And
like, you're either like being lazy and kind of hiding, or it's a blur. Like, my problem is usually like I'm in blur mode, going so fast and doing so much stuff and moving around, and my plate is always full, and it's hard to enjoy the pieces of the pie when you have too many pies.
I think one of the really cool things about this album, beyond the songs, which again, I love all the ones I've heard so much, and is the way that it was written, which I think is very unique. You guys, I think there's a quote, it's like, eating, sleeping, breathing, living, our only purpose was to write. And you set off on a road trip as you were writing this album, kind of around the country.
Mm-hmm.
Did you have a destination in mind geographically or artistically, or did this just journey unfold naturally?
It was born out of, like, this was the first record we made when Emily didn't live in Chicago, so she had moved to New Mexico. So that was like the original thing, but then it was like, well, if we're leaving Chicago to go do that and split time between Chicago and this place, then like, we might as well make it this adventure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so we like packed up a little mobile studio and then would set it up as we would go. We
like
were there.
The Goonies.
How is it like the Goonies?
I'm going to say,
elaborate,
because everyone's always like the Bukowski poem, but I'm going to start saying I was inspired by the Goonies because we're on a little adventure.
After the first session at Emily's house, which was really beautiful, it was in the desert and it was in the middle of
off-grid.
Winter. Where there's snow.
An earth ship, right?
Is yes. That?
We left. Then me and Eric got stuck in this mountain pass because there was an avalanche. And then we got to Seattle. And we're like riding on the Puget Sound, like mm-hmm. on the water, which was beautiful.
There's like mist.
It was misty
it's
and
medieval.
Cold.
It was
every
medieval.
Day.
It there's was moss.
The tide
like
would
shells.
Just like come in and out so crazy.
The dock was just made of like a bunch of rocks. It was really cool.
But then on our way home, we hit this deer and then we got stuck in this town in Montana.
Not me. I was at home.
Me and Eric, yeah.
Yeah.
We were there for like 5 days, living like out of a motel.
In the middle of nowhere.
Yeah, the only way we were able to leave Joe from the motel, he drove us 90 miles to the next town where there was the biggest town that had a car rental.
Because they didn't have their bikes.
Yeah, normally we would ride our bicycles.
Like in the Goonies.
Oh my gosh.
I was trying to like Google map it, like how long will it take me to walk to Billings? And it would be like, oh, it's going to take me a week, but we had to play shows in England like
oh
next
my god
week. So like we kind of have to leave this town.
Yeah,
we better power walk.
I was googling how to walk to England.
Good luck.
Yeah,
you know, those seems like you hit like a lot of geographically different spaces as well, from New Mexico to the Puget Sound to this small town in Montana, and I've heard Montana's a beautiful state.
It is.
Do you find like that the physical locations influence the music that you were making?
Definitely. So like every place sort of had its own energy, like especially where Emily lives is like very peaceful and remote. So like, and we were very much tied to the cycle of like the day with like the sunrise. We were like running on solar power. So like,
oh, wow. Yeah.
Once the sun was down, you were like, you were done with electricity for the day. And then it was like, either you're writing on acoustic guitar or you're reading or whatever yeah. else. Mm-hmm. So like, it really put us in these kind of like grounded rhythm in there. And then just kind of like there's always just like this vast, beautiful thing in the distance that we're traveling towards.
Primal.
Yeah. Which I feel like that really loomed in my mind. Like this like just mountain range that was always a different mountain, but it was like always just off in the distance.
Yeah.
Well, one of the songs that you are playing for us today is Mood Ring. Mm. I've actually got a mood ring on and...
What color?
Let me see.
It is like an orangish-ish right
now. Where'd you
get
that? That's really cool.
I'll send you the link. I'm not exactly sure. It's an Instagram ad, so you know.
Will you send me the link?
It must be real.
I just lost the decoding sheet, though, so I really don't know what mood I'm in.
You just know you're
happy. I think you're happy.
It's a good vibe. Yeah, y'all are putting me in an orange mood, whatever that entails. Mood Ring is, I guess, about falling in love with a dude on a motorcycle.
Oh, yeah.
Which, relatable.
Well, I don't know if love is the right, more like infatuation.
Infatuation.
Major crush. Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's fun.
Oh,
I think
absolutely.
It's real. I mean, who, I know it sounds like kind of on the nose or cliche, but it's like motorcycles are, well, also I don't own a motorcycle because I would die immediately. So I'm not even promoting motorcycles at all. But if someone else has a motorcycle and they're good at it, I'm like, wow. Like once a year I want to do it. And then I'm like, I'm good.
Was this a song that you wrote then on the road? Did you see a dude on a motorcycle and become infatuated?
I dated this person. They know who they are.
Shout out to this person. You inspired a very good song
yeah.
that y'all are going to play now. It's Mood Ring.
Angel, in my mouth, you're the whole baby, took me from the mail with a little bit of danger. I
the mood ring has now reached a green state, which I think
I
means
love
we are vibing. Mm-hmm. The mood ring approves of mood ring. Another song on the record, the one that kicks things off, is Dog Days. There's legitimate howling in it, which I'm very big into, or some barking, I guess. Whatever you... You know, the dog seems to be some imagery that y'all use throughout. There's a dog on the cover of the record, and there's some dogs on your website. I think Bad Boy and Angel.
One of those is my dog.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Bijou.
Angel, I think, is that one.
Do you want to tell us a little bit about Dog Days and kind of this use of the dog on the album cover? And
yeah, I mean, the song's basically just like about a celebration of putting your heart out there for success and failure, you know, like it's like welcoming the broken heart and the joy of like finding also like a connection with other hearts or whatever. It's just like the full spectrum. It's like not about good or bad, or it's just like a salute to everyone who's just like trying,
just
I think.
Getting out there.
Yeah, which is like the whole poetry thing. It's like
take the risk.
Go for it. Like, yeah. It might not work out, but it, like, at least you'll grow and learn from it. And I think the dog is just like that kind of wild energy in a way.
Yeah, the dog, the feeling of like the freedom and the wildness.
And everyone always says our music reminds them of road trip energy. So it's kind of apropos that we made a record in a road trip landscape.
Pretty meta.
It was a nice way to like lose yourself, because normally you're like at home and there's like the distractions of the world or whatever. Yeah. And so this was like, this is just my life now.
This
like
is the only thing
one day to
do.
The next. Yeah. I'm traveling. I'm here. I'm writing music every day.
Yeah, and I find like being in motion like helps creativity.
Oh yeah, on your bike, you're driving.
Being behind the wheel for like 8 hours, I'm just like my mind goes places. And it's also great to like reflect on your life. Like it's that quiet
There's
time
else to do.
Where it's mindless. Yeah,
trance state.
Unless you're meditating on your own accord, I meditate at the wheel.
It's so funny how the brain operates, where it's like, in the background, you can be, you know, doing something that, you know, you are sort of focusing on, but the background, your mind, your creativity is just like pumping.
Yeah. And then you get there, you're like, did I just drive here?
Yeah. And I wrote 3 songs on the way.
I am kind of like that. I'm always singing into my voice memos. And everyone kind of is like, what is he doing? And then eventually, after we like travel enough together, they're like, oh.
He's always doing his little thing. In the corner. But he can decipher it later. I write lyrics down in my voice, in my notes app all the time.
Mm-hmm. So is y'all's writing process pretty collaborative then?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Enmeshed.
Pretty much like...
Avatar braid.
This record is maybe a little bit more diverse, but we're avatar braid about 80% of the time on this record.
Yeah.
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 But it's funny, we were also kind of discovering that each of our favorite songs on the record of the other person's are ones that we wrote alone.
Sometimes we'll write alone and then bring it to the band. And then most of the time we're just in a room and we go, all right, let's start. And then we just start playing music.
And then mood ring happens.
We just follow each other until songs happen. We wrote 40 songs.
Yeah.
And only 13. Is it 13 or 14?
I think it's 14.
I wish it was 13. Yeah. That's like an evil number. It would have been so much cooler.
Well, we can always take one off.
Right.
We'll just cut a little piece of the vinyl off.
Yeah, just a little pizza like sliver.
Okay, everyone, don't listen to one song.
Yeah, and the album is available on this like really beautiful, clear, glittery vinyl that you're not going to want to cut a piece off of.
No.
But I think when you were doing an unboxing video, Jason, you were saying that this has more lyrics than maybe any other Dead record.
Oh, yeah.
Do you feel like you guys had more to say this time?
I think so. Like, maybe it was in the spirit of some sort of subconscious poetry, but I think the words, like, they really seemed more prominent and, like, forceful when coming out this time. For me, at least, personally.
Yeah, I feel like Jason really... I don't know if I write any more or less, but you might have written more.
Yeah. Normally, I'm like, 5-word songs, done.
Yeah.
This one, I'm like, let me bestow chapters upon you.
Yeah, I've got some things to say.
Yeah, yeah.
I've got some poetry for you.
I think it was having the time to like put it all into like a concise way and then like elaborate a little bit to be clear, you know, rather than to paint around it so much.
We had way more time for the writing, and then we had time on top of the time after writing. So it was just kind of conducive, like very meditative, because we were still and or in motion.
Yeah.
In the car. So a lot of words happened.
Mm-hmm. I also had like at the time for like 7 or 9 months, I didn't have anywhere like to live. So I was like crashing at Eric's house a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And him and his roommate are like really late sleepers. Mm-hmm. So I would get up in the morning. It was this like beautiful sunny apartment. Mm-hmm. And then I basically have an apartment to myself for like many hours. Yeah. So I would just sit in the, like they have like a three-way room where all the walls are windows. Mm-hmm. Oh. And I would just sit there and like work on the lyrics like every morning. So I just like was really living in those moments, I guess, and having some quiet contemplative time.
The image of that is very poetic.
It's, I mean, he like lives on the edge of a park too, so I'm just like looking at the treetops and like,
oh yeah, nature is inspiration, baby.
With your like trash bag of clothes next to you.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it was a cardboard box. I had one cardboard box of Kerouac. All my belongings, and then I had a 5-gallon fermentation crock that I've had this soy paste that I've been fermenting for 3 years, and so I'd be like, "Can I stay at your house?" And then I'd be like, "It's just me, my box, and my crock,
and my soy paste."
So you don't have, no pets, but you've got your soy paste.
Yeah, yeah. It's alive. So.
And he makes bread, so you keep stuff alive.
Yeah, just kind of microbial mm-hmm. things.
I mean, that's a good incentive to for people to, like, let you stay with them if you're like, I come bearing bread. Like, yeah. Infinite amounts.
It does
really
work, yeah. Like, we'll get some flour in here and we'll figure it out.
Yeah. Beautiful. Dead bread is the next merch item. That's what you got to sell.
I got to get up at like 4 a.m. to start
just
making
it. You try to play guitar and your fingers are just all gnarled.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, they're just two pieces late. Of bread.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you're playing Brooklyn Steel on October 20th, which is part of a pretty extensive tour you're going on through like into November. Are you super excited to be able to play these songs live for people?
Oh yeah.
Yes. I'm so ready.
Yeah, they're fun. This is a very fun live album. Mixed with all our other albums, it's like the best rock and roll set for jumping and moshing and crying and kissing, mm-hmm. holding hands.
All the best verbs.
Yeah.
If we were doing Mad Libs.
Yeah,
like, yeah. Full circle.
Oh yeah, that's what do I hope for the album inspires people is like, all these people always come up to us and say that they either like fell in love to a record or had their first date and now they're married or like just like the cutest or like we became best friends and it was on a playlist. And I'm like, that is so cool to me. I'm like, success. We have arrived. Mm-hmm. It started happening like in 2020. People would come up to us because we were inside for so long. Mm-hmm. And then we were like, I don't know what's going on out there. And then we went out. And everyone was like, I have been crying to your record. And they're like crying while they're telling me like all the things that they got through or the things they fell in love. Like, and it's just like, that is so beautiful.
Yeah.
Like, what a lucky ass job.
Well, thank you so much for your art, because I think it's to make something like that and have people feel that way. Like, that's a gift that you are giving people. So really appreciate it, and thank you so much for being here. It was lovely. I wish you could talk for longer. I wish you could play 12. Actually, you played 2 songs. I wish you could play the other 12 from the album.
11.
Yes.
Have us back, and we'll play as many as you want.
Guys, thank you so much for being here, and congratulations on the album. Poetry is out now, and it's been dead on WFUV.
Thank you. Bye bye.
Everyone always breaking hearts tonight. Everyone always bleeding, but I know we'll be alright. Everyone always breaking hearts tonight. Everyone I know's a broken heart. Ghosting. It's chasing, fleeting, but it feels uneven. Long night, ceiling, hoping and believing. It's a bad boy in a fast car, sneaking out at night through the back door. Leather backseat, taillight heat, looking for more, looking, looking for.
Was Dead performing and in conversation at WFUV in New York City. A big thank you to the band for joining us in our studio and to Fat Possum Records. Thanks to our WFUV audio team, including Jim O'Hara, Alan Wang, and Nadia Garriga. Our FUV live studio sessions are engineered by Jim O'Hara. Our associate producer for this episode is Alexandra Pfau. Megan Aftermat is our executive producer, and our theme music was composed by John Crick. Be sure to follow FUV Live Sessions wherever you get your podcasts so you can catch all the latest episodes and find your new favorite artist or band. Episodes drop every Monday. You can also find audio and video of FUV sessions at WFUV.org. FUV Live Sessions is a production of WFUV in New York City. I'm your host, Sam Sumter.